You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices. And I've got a magnificent treat for you today. And she is one of the top authorities on hygiene and dental practice development all across the country. Because some of you might be struggling with what to do in hygiene. And today we're going to talk about the essential recipe for greatness in hygiene with Wendy Briggs. So you're not going to want to miss this. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Barrett is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. We are having so much fun. I am so grateful you guys are watching this and just got a lot of comments, questions, and requests for great things ahead. And I've got one of the requests fulfilled today because I get a lot of questions about hygiene and what do we do? How do we transform things in hygiene? And I've got one of the worldwide experts on that, and you're going to love this. Now, a couple things. If you're watching this, we're shooting this live on Facebook, so you're going to see the feed, and please add any questions that you have because I want to make sure we answer your questions. We're also, I just love these questions so much. So we're just doing a whole thing once per week. It's kind of like Gratitude Mondays. We're giving away a free Apple iWatch to the best question asked. And I got some really good ones yesterday. So thank you so much. And on the subject of hygiene, now I just have to say this. It's a subtle difference between how hard you work and how you think. And this person knows the gap and she's able to close the gap. And it's my friend Wendy Briggs. So Wendy, thank you for being on. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure. It's great to be here today.
Yeah. Now, Wendy and I were talking about this before we got started. I listen to Wendy a lot. You know, we don't talk a lot, but I listen to you a lot. And she's got a fabulous podcast. And if you haven't listened to it, you got to listen to it. And she's one of those people that gives so much information that sometimes I'm like, that is, wait, slow down. So, because I'm trying to keep up with her a lot because she's just a wealth of information. And it's not just hygiene. It's the whole practice. Now, for those people that don't know who you are, Wendy, who are you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm obviously a hygienist first and foremost, and I've spent the last 15, 16 years speaking and lecturing and sharing some of what I learned with other providers across the country. Actually, we have people internationally now as well. We work with practices in the UK, Australia, Canada, and Mexico, and it's been a really great ride. And, you know, I think probably more than anything that spurred this craziness is I found that I was trying to move from effectiveness to greatness. And there was a lot of people out there in our industry that would tell hygienists what we should be doing. You know, hygiene should be producing, you know, 20% of the overall practice production. Hygienists should be 20 to 30%, actually. Hygiene should be doing at least 20% perio codes, maybe even closer to 30% perio codes. And, you know, I found there was a lot of chatter as far as what we should be doing, but very few people sharing with me as a provider how to do those things, you know, how to actually get that done. And as I started to learn and study and work with some of the best and the brightest in the industry, I kind of took that on as my mission, is to really show hygienists how they can truly succeed in helping their practices grow. So that is the why behind what I do. And I've been fortunately blessed to work with some incredible organizations and hygienists. You know, every practice we visit with teaches me something new. And so now I have an incredible team, amazing coaches that are making waves in dentistry coast to coast by showing hygienists and teams really how to move from effectiveness to greatness. So it's been a really great ride.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I want to take that all apart. But real quickly, now you work with Dr. John Meese. And John, from what I understand, John's a brilliant guy. He is a partner in over 180 dental practices. So he's just truly a student of how great businesses work. And he's had every consultant in their office. And one day he had you come in the office and that kind of changed your trajectory forever. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, I think when we are learning and on a quest for continuous knowledge, we work with a lot of various people over our careers. And so Dr. John had a group of dentists that he worked together that he called his brain trust. Mm-hmm. And one of them had me come in and work with their hygiene team. And we took an already successful practice and just were able to have an immediate impact. And that's exactly what happened in Dr. John's practice. So Dr. John's hygienists were already averaging about $2,000 a day. They were running an assisted model. They were already doing incredible things. And we came in and showed them, again, a few subtle tweaks and talked about how to maximize their impact. And he saw a 45% bump right away. They were over $100,000 in revenue a month in hygiene. And, you know, he had a very successful practice, but in a blue collar area in Iowa. Right. And he said, gosh, you know, if we can have this kind of impact in a practice that he already felt was doing a lot well, imagine what we could do across the country. So we partnered up in an institute called the Team Training Institute. And now Hygiene Diamonds supplies all of the hygiene component and the hygiene guidance and coaching for the Team Training Institute. So it's been an awesome experience. And what we found is we've had to figure out how to scale the results. So we work with practices that are really small, that have, you know, two treatment rooms clear up to the largest entity that we're working with in some capacity has more than 700 locations and more than 2,300 hygienists. So
that's a lot, man. That is just a
the approach is different, you know, a little mm-hmm. bit different, but the principles are all the same. So, yeah. And we do find that the practices that we typically work with are already very successful. They may find themselves stuck and just can't break through to the next level. Or maybe they're looking for a competitive advantage. Or maybe, again, they may have found that they're declining in recent years because of changes and challenges that are new to the marketplace. So there's a lot of different reasons why we work with practices. But one thing is constant, and that is we double hygiene production from one day to the next. And that's something we're really proud of.
Yeah. Now, if you're watching this too, it's not about money. You know, you and I talked about this before. It's about doing the right things. The key to this is the byproduct works really well when you transition. You use the topic so well. You said effectiveness to greatness. Just define that, like define it.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you brought that up because here's the thing that we always say. Production is never the goal, right? But production is what comes as a result of doing the right thing for patients. And when we find when we are striving for a world-class level of care, production will naturally follow that. So we don't have to focus on production, but it's also something that's really important for hygienists to understand that production is not a dirty word. That's part of business in dentistry today is understanding what we are contributing and how we can have a bigger impact on the growth and success of the practice. Right. And I think in years gone by, we didn't want to be that kind of a hygienist, right? So when we talk about that, when we talk about moving from effectiveness to greatness, production is a part of that. We're not measuring just production, though. You know, we're measuring a lot of different things to move us to that point. So when we look at a hygienist that's trying to move from effectiveness to greatness, we're really looking for those that are doing things that the masses are not doing, those that are outliers in the industry. And there's a few components. You know, I kind of borrowed that phrase from Stephen Covey. He wrote a really great book on moving from effectiveness to greatness. And what we've done is we've kind of adapted some of those core principles into the dental world. And we are helping providers know what they can do differently to achieve greatness at the end of the day. Because, you know, I hear from hygienists all across the country who are very skeptical because we're pushing the limit already and we're already running. You know, half the time we're running around like our hair's on fire. Yeah. And when we say we're going to help double your production, they look at me like I'm out of my mind because right. You know, how can they do more than what they're currently doing? And the reality is when you're really focused in on moving from effectiveness to greatness, it's about so much more. Sometimes I find we get stuck on the urgent tasks And when we're focused on the urgent tasks, we tend to lose sight of the really important things that we're striving to accomplish every day.
Right. Now, I want you just said it just a minute ago, because you talk about the why and the how. Those are two separate things. Now, this topic is so hot for a lot of reasons. And I'm just going to say it because, and I don't mind being controversial on here, and who cares anyway, right? Yeah. You know, you're seeing the trends right now. There's a lot of practice consulting companies out there that are advising and forcing, not necessarily forcing, but they're limiting their dentists to doing 30-minute profies, or a lot of DSOs. And you said they can only go in one or two directions behind that. So when you're starting to think about what we can do better, some hygienists watching this are freaking out going, I don't want to do it. Like, that means more work. It means faster intervals. But tell me about the trends that you're seeing when people are pushing others to go to the 30, because there's only two ways you can do it, right? To increase.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, Kirk, because there's really two ways to increase hygiene revenue. We can increase the number of patient encounters. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of consulting companies out there that may think they have the best interests of the practice in mind when they advocate for that. But in reality, my experience is that they don't. So when we increase the number of patient encounters, that's what you're seeing. They're shortening the appointments down, and they are increasing hygiene revenue, certainly. But they're doing it in such a way, in my opinion, that doesn't really benefit the practice long term. I think that when you do that, when you ask, you know, 30 minutes all in or 45 minutes even, there's really no way to provide a world-class level of care in that time frame. And what happens is patient experience suffers. Mm-hmm. And when we have a lack in patient experience, patient retention suffers. Right. And that's really damaging to the practice long term. So in a roundabout way, I think that strategy is very harmful. And sadly, there's many good dentists that are following that really terrible advice.
Right.
And I think it's such a shame, because there's another way to go, right? The first one is to increase the number of patient encounters. The second way to increase hygiene productivity and hygiene revenue is to focus on increasing the production per encounter.
Right.
And that's where we've chosen to focus. And what we have proven time and time and time again is if hygienists know how to do that and what they can do differently, and again, have the tools and the knowledge to apply those principles, we see incredible things happen. Right. We see, you know, our 60-minute hygienists outproducing the 30-minute hygienists all day long. It's not even close. And what's beautiful about that strategy is the hygienists that are, you know, embracing increasing production per encounter and are given the resources and the tools to make that possible, their patients are raving about them. You know, they're retaining patients at a much higher level, which automatically fuels the growth of the practice.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting decision that dentists have to make. Which direction are you going to go? Right. Are you going to want to increase the number of patient encounters, or are you going to focus on strategies to increase the production per encounter? And I really think that everyone here would agree that increasing production per encounter is the right choice, but they may not know exactly how to get that done, right? They don't know how to do that. And maybe they've tried to visit with hygienists about, you know, fluoride on adults or, you know, other preventative services and not gotten buy-in.
Right.
Because hygienists really didn't have the skills they needed to know how to actually do that. Right.
Yeah. Right. And I would just want to frame this correctly, because sometimes, you know, people misconstrue what you're saying when in a wrong way. And the bottom line is every business is looking how to increase revenue per interaction. I mean, I worked at Applebee's when I was in college. I was a 3-time employee of the month, but my kids always laugh like, you're such a geek. But the truth of it is that we looked at check average, you know, and table average, and you could see the servers that had, it lended itself to a fantastic experience. Like, I had huge check averages because I wanted them to have a great experience. And I'd say, you know what you need? You need a Bahama Mama today. Cause you look, and they'd be like, yeah. And then before you know it, they're happy to do that. And they go, right. I want you every time. So please don't think about this. This is not about how we extract revenue, but how do we give more value per visit? So take us into this, Wendy, cause I love this. I love the way you're talking. Cause I'm also going to take the vantage point of a hygienist going, okay, Wendy, I hear you, but I'm already working as hard as I can work right now. Like, how do I go from effectiveness to greatness? Walk me through that.
Yeah, I love that. So Stephen Covey teaches four key principles to achieve that: vision, passion, discipline, and conscience. Okay. So when we talk about that, really what we were just discussing is the vision of the practice. You know, what are you really hoping to accomplish in hygiene? And I think a lot of times the hygienists really lack clarity on the vision of where the doctor wants to go. If we really don't have a clear vision of where the practice wants to go or where the doctor's trying to go, we can't help support them in achieving that vision. So I think that's the first step, is to really clarify the vision and say, here's what we want. You know, here are our core values. Here's my mission. And, you know, when I'm talking about growing the revenue of the practice, often dentists want to do that to provide the team with a bigger future, to be able to have a bigger impact on the community. It's often not because the dentist wants the newest model of the latest Ferrari. You know, usually we have really great intentions, but we need to know what your vision is. And again, the more clarity we have on that, the more likely we are to join in. I love this quote, people will support what they help create.
Right.
And so to gain ownership and buy-in of the team, they need clarity on the vision. That's the first thing. The second thing is passion. Why are we doing what we're doing every day? And for many hygienists and for many dental clinicians, we came into this field because we really wanted to help people. We wanted to serve our patients. We love our patients and we certainly want what's best for them. And that's what I love about what we do is we don't have to work very hard to uncover the passion. A lot of providers already have it. They just need to know how to apply that. And you nailed it. You know, when you were talking about your Applebee's experience, what we have found with many patients, they want preventative services. They get excited about it.
Right.
But for whatever reason, we as a profession talk a really good talk. We say things like we refuse to allow insurance to dictate the level of care we provide. But in reality, every day in the chair, we do allow insurance to dictate the level of care we provide. You know, I have calls with practices that say we really don't offer fluoride to adults as a matter of routine. It's just not a part of who we are because adults say no when it's not covered by insurance. But when we talk them through all of the benefits and all of the value that the patients can receive, and then we show them, you know, how to propose it to the patient in such a way, they're readily accepting these services. They just need to know why. You know, patients need the why too. They need to know why they would benefit from these things. And so we teach a process to really help the hygienists uncover the desires of the patient, and it ignites the passion within the provider. You know, we teach a process by which hygienists can use risk assessment, for example,
right?
And do a risk assessment process with every patient. So we identify, number one, is this patient high risk for decay? And number two, if they are, why are they high risk? What risk factors do we see? And then we teach the hygienist how to language these opportunities for preventive therapy based on patients' individual risk factors. And I think that's one of the reasons why hygienists become passionate about what we teach and they're willing to embrace it. You know, hygienists, again, I've rarely met a hygienist willing to settle for average.
Right.
We just don't have enough information on what to do to really achieve that next level. And when we provide that to them, oh my goodness, it's so exciting because we get emails and texts saying, I had a record production day today. We did 23 sealants on adult patients. We had patients accepting care left and right. And it's really a rewarding and exciting thing when we understand, you know, that it's not about running around with our hair on fire. It's not about working harder in essence. Sure, it is hard work to do those things, but it is about providing a more complete, comprehensive level of care to the patients we already serve. That's what igniting the passion in hygiene really does.
Right, right. And I want to go back to this because this is so important what you've just said. Now, if you're a dentist watching this, you're like, oh, Wendy, I want that. The truth of it is you've got to communicate that. And that's what Wendy just said as far as the vision goes and then getting everybody engaged from a passion standpoint. I tell people all the time, I just want people that are all in. I want them to come in and think and be engaged. And then what you're talking about with the risk assessment, Wendy, it's a methodology. This is very scientific. This isn't a dentist saying, hey, look, do the best you can and get them in optimal care. They're following a specific system. Is that correct? When it comes to risk, I mean, you've got a classification system and everything, yeah. And it's based on the vision of the doctor. It's not necessarily yours. Is that true? Or is it?
Right. That's exactly true. So the reality is, you know, when we often complain about what's not working in a dental practice, we find that almost always we have a natural tendency to blame people, but usually it boils down to lack of a clearly defined or a good system. Right. So we provide systems for hygienists to follow and all of the tools that they need to succeed. So yes, you're exactly right. We've taken the American Dental Association's risk assessment survey and we've adapted it into a tool that the hygiene provider can use. And it's also a very patient-friendly resource. So they do the caries risk assessment and documentation. They document whether they find low, moderate, or high risk on that patient. And then the resource is actually given to the patient. So it's a system. And that's why we have to create almost a foolproof system, if you will, because we work with practices that have 2,300 hygienists. And so it's got to be simple enough that they can roll it out and teach all of their hygiene providers to embrace it and utilize it.
That's awesome.
When they do that, you know, performance dramatically improves.
That is fantastic. And then you also mentioned discipline as number three. Tell us about that. What does that truly mean in this respect?
Well, I think probably one of the most compelling things, and you said it, you know, you're wanting people that are all in. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking for hygienists that can do it, that will do it, and hygienists that get it. You know, we want them to really understand what their role is. And so part of discipline is understanding how we can maximize our role in the practice. And we focus on, you know, maximizing three key roles. And it does require a high level of discipline to really understand what those roles are and what we need to do to maximize the impact in those roles. So we talk about the role of the hygienist as a preventive therapist, as a periodontal therapist, and as a patient treatment advocate. And so what we find is, you know, when we're looking at all the things that we need to do for preventive therapy, when we look at all the things that we need to do for periodontal therapy, when we look at all of the things that we can do to really preheat the patient for the doctor and talk about restorative dentistry, all of those areas require a high level of discipline, because we only have, you know, sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes 50 minutes, sometimes 60 minutes. But even in 60 minutes, there's a lot to do.
Right.
So when it comes to the discipline aspect, we walk them through the anatomy of an appointment, how to utilize those times in a disciplined way to maximize the impact to the practice and to the patient. And we also see that there needs to be a high level of focus. You know, we've got to have hygienists that are willing to set personal goals and are disciplined enough to report and follow through on those goals. And often that's another thing that's lacking in the practices that are not outliers. Practices that are outliers have a system for tracking and assessment. And you know as well as I do that what gets measured improves, but what gets measured and reported improves exponentially.
I borrowed that quote from you. I love that quote.
Yeah. So it's not my quote. I borrowed it from another, you know, incredible thinker and a visionary man. So the reality is that discipline is a part of what we do, you know, and sometimes, again, we have hygienists that are so busy taking care of, you know, the patient's 20 minutes late and they're checking things off that list. They lose sight of the bigger vision. And that's why vision and passion together are such a powerful recipe. But then the next step would be discipline. You know, do we have the systems? Do we have the willingness and the fortitude to do what's necessary to follow through on some of these things day to day? Because sometimes these things can really easily be lost.
Yeah. Now go back to this. Now, if you're watching this, I already said this. She's so good and she gives so much information and I'm trying to write as fast as I can. Now, this bears repeating because this is really a very important expectation when you're dealing with hygienists, how they can succeed. And you said there are three roles. You have the preventive. Say that again. What was the full title?
Preventative therapy. That's one. So that would be things like, you know, we have 8 to 10 different preventive services that we evaluate when we do a practice audit. We're going to look at fluoride utilization on adults. We're going to look at sealant utilization. We're going to look at desensitizing, a bonded desensitizing service. And are we utilizing that? You know, a lot of these services, when we're teaching them how to implement, we have to lead with the science. You know, patients of today are different. We've got drug-induced dry mouth in record numbers. We've got challenges with patients today that we didn't have 10 or 15 years ago. We've got, you know, Mountain Dew mouth, and we've got a lot of recreational drugs out there that really can wreak havoc in their mouths. So a lot of patients of today really have a lot of risk factors. So we're looking at 8 to 10 different things, oral cancer screenings, diagnostic x-rays. You know, what are we actually doing for the patient on the preventive side? So that's preventive therapy. Then we look at periodontal therapy and the role of a periodontal therapist. And there's a lot of really great hygiene consultants and speakers out there that this is their primary focus. They're focusing on soft tissue management. Mm-hmm. They're focusing on periodontal health. And that's a really important element. But again, in our vision, in my vision, it's just 1/3 of what we bring to the table when we're coaching and mentoring hygienists to really achieve that great moving from greatness to effectiveness. So periodontal therapist's role includes so many things. I mean, it takes us a full 8 hours to really teach this.
Right.
Because we've got the total health, the oral systemic link, and all of that overwhelming body of research proving how important it is to make sure that we're reducing the bacterial load in the mouth, that we're helping the patient succeed and winning against the biofilm disease that's chronic and that can cause so many other chronic health issues in the rest of the body. We've got that piece.
Right.
But then we also have, you know, preventive therapy. We have supportive periodontal therapy as far as periodontal maintenance. And then we have the tactical of actually scaling and replaning and what therapeutic services we're providing.
Right.
We also have the challenge in today's world. you know, if we're still treating periodontal disease today the same way we were 5 years ago, we probably need a reset. You know, there's a lot that's changed. So we're seeing full mouth disinfection. We're seeing laser therapies being embraced. We're seeing so much happening in the trenches when it comes to periodontal therapist roles, that this is a very quick area that many hygienists and practices find that they're irrelevant
right.
in this area, because just the speed of progress in the last few years has been so tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the third role of the hygienist, you said patient treatment advocate. Is that what you said?
Sure. Yeah, that's okay. Exactly right. So that's like what Walter Haley taught years ago. You know, the role of the hygienist is to preheat the patient for the doctor and to emotionally prepare them to be more willing and able to accept therapy and care today. And what's fascinating is that, you know, hygienists have a high level of education and training. And usually we don't have one course in our hygiene program designed to prepare us for discussing restorative dentistry. So a lot of hygienists are sadly out of our element. And a lot of us put in a lot of time and effort to really develop those skills. And what we found is there's a way to facilitate that progress. We don't have to wait until we've worked together for 5 to 8 years for us to really be able to communicate at a high level, for me to be able to very accurately predict what my doctor is going to recommend. We can facilitate that process. We use a process we call treatment planning for predictability. And there's a series of exercises that we teach that can really help the doctor and the hygienist calibrate and gain alignment in this area so that I can very accurately predict what my doctor is going to say.
Yeah.
A lot of hygienists get stuck on the reality that we're not supposed to diagnose.
Yeah.
Right. But we can say things like, you know, I'm not the doctor, but my best guess is, given what I see, this is what he's going to say.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working with her a long time. And usually in situations like this, this is what she has to say about what you need. And so we can preheat the patient for that. And then when the doctor comes in the room, they honestly become like a second opinion.
Yeah.
And they're validating what our initial best guess is. And it just facilitates the acceptance and it builds the trust and relationship. And so when we're talking about this role, we're also talking about embracing technology right. and using things like cavity detecting lasers and intraoral cameras, you know, the technology that many practices have, right. but they just don't really have a system for implementation.
Right.
And they don't spend a lot of time on how they want their hygienists to use these tools. And so, you know, the hygienists often don't use them because we don't feel confident in how to use them. And so, you know, it's this catch 22. Doctors say, gosh, I wish my hygienist would use the camera more. But the hygienists feel like they aren't adequately prepared, or maybe the camera that they have doesn't work well. There's some reasons behind why we're not maximizing that impact. And so that's what the whole treatment advocate role is developing those skills, guiding the hygiene team on how they can do a better job of preheating the patient for the doctor, gaining that alignment and communicate, just opening the lines of communication between the doctor and the hygiene team as to what the doctor really wants us to say.
This is so good. Cause I remember Walter Haley saying preheat thing. And sometimes you forget, you're like, oh my gosh, he used to say that all the time. Now this is really important because all three of those components are awesome. I love how you characterize that. But number three is one of the most controversial and biggest lost opportunities is a lot of hygienists, number one, are afraid of the whole diagnosis thing. And I'm just going to go right there. There's no law that limits a hygienist from saying what they're thinking. Now, they can't legally diagnose, but like you said, I'm not the doctor, or here's what I'm thinking. But you know what? We're going to ask the doctor and the doctor is going to give us their final opinion. That's number one. And you can tell me how many hygienists have actually been incarcerated in the United States. And I think the number is zero. and then the second thing is when you talked about used a alignment or calibration, the clinical calibration is huge, Wendy. Like, what do you see? Because even if the hygienist could do that and does do that, a lot of times they're way off from what the dentist was thinking. So tell us what you see when it comes to that calibration.
Yeah, you know, I'm a really good student. And so I've learned a lot about this from dentists. You know, Dr. John Meese, you mentioned him earlier. He's taught me a lot about how, you know, we all bring varying levels of diagnostic assertiveness to the table. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if two dentists are not on the same page. But the challenge that you have when you have multiple dentists in one facility and they're trading off on exams, the hygienists become a little bit anxious about saying the right thing.
Right.
Another dentist that I'm a student of is Dr. Scott Luna. And he does this very, very well, where he walks through a process by, you know, if we don't have that alignment, then the hygienist is trying to guess what mood the doctor's in that day. And, right. you know, today I might be right, but tomorrow I'm wrong. And so, you know, we then quit talking about dentistry because we're afraid to be wrong. But also, to be fair, let's be brutally honest here. Like you said, I love you said you're not afraid to be controversial, because if all I have is a half an hour to do everything I need to do, I'm not talking about restorative dentistry.
No.
There's no way, right? So if all we, you know, if we don't want our hygienist to talk about restorative dentistry, give them a half hour. Give them 20 minutes.
You're not even worried about billing the patient. You're just trying to be on time. That's exactly, all you're thinking.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's the reality is, you know, 65% of all the restorative production we do comes from hygiene. So if we're not giving our hygienists adequate time and training and skills and technology to make this possible, we really are spinning our wheels. You know, I find it laughable. So many doctors are so concerned about new patients, but we don't have these issues figured out. One of the things I've learned is we cannot solve an operations issue with more new patients. Right. All we're going to do is make it worse. Right. You know, we can't. So we have to figure this part out. And then what we often find is if we have this part figured out, you don't need new patients. You got so much dentistry to do on the patients you have that the reality is many dentists are out of capacity. They don't even know it. So once we start building some of these really vital systems in, we find that the focus on new patients shifts. Right. And all of a sudden we realize we've got plenty of work to do on the patients that we already have. And so it relieves the stress a little bit on everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I would say you at least have a practice within your practice of undiagnosed dentistry. As a matter of fact, you know, dentist diagnosis is so low across the country. And I don't know if you see this, but Wendy, and you know, when we coach practices, 99% of them don't need one more new patient. They have so many people leaving the recare process. There's no diagnosis. And all they can think about is a billboard and a Facebook ad. And I'm like, these people are just leaving in droves.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Well, our good friends, you know, at Dental Intel, they do a lot of, I think you've worked with them a little bit as well. You know, they have a really interesting analysis that they do. And one of the things that they said is if you improve your pre-scheduled rate by 10%. So if you're pre-scheduling, if you're really retaining people by, you improve that by 10%. I think the statistic was something like you can double your practice in 3 years or some crazy time frame. And, you know, we've long believed in patient retention as a huge strategy. We teach the 7 R's. So we're talking about the systems required to have a successful practice. And that's, you know, recall, reactivation, recovery, retention, referrals, reviews, reappointment. You know, all of those are so absolutely critical to practice success. And so that's, I could not agree more. You know, I think when we sit down and visit occasionally, we'll find a practice in crisis. One of the first things we do is run that unscheduled treatment report. And it's often in the millions. And there's so much out there. And the reason often for that is we're not calibrated. We're not aligned. The hygienist could improve preheating the patient for the doctor, but maybe the hygienist doesn't have the time that's necessary or the technology is not up to standard. You know, there's a lot of reasons behind why it's not happening. But again, usually we tend to blame the people. And it's often not that, it's the lack of a good system. So that's one of the things that we strive to implement is really great systems so that we can maximize our role as a patient treatment advocate in hygiene.
Yeah. And we're talking about the recipe today for, you know, greatness in hygiene, but go through the 7 R's again, because I love those. And we're going to do a whole nother show on this. So I don't want you to dissect them, but in case you're watching this, those 7 R's are powerful. Go through each one of them. Would you mind?
Okay. So recall. Okay. Now you can put me on the spot. Hopefully I can get them. You know, when I have to go think about it.
I always need my notes. I always have to have my notes. Yeah.
So recall, recovery, reactivation, reappointment, reviews, retention. See, I knew you.
I've heard you talk about them before, but we're going to do a whole nother show on that. And my note, I'm writing as fast as I can. And I have terrible handwriting, but we're going to cover that. But my point in telling you this is that there are things that people have figured out. Don't try to figure this stuff out all by yourself. I mean, Wendy's got a fabulous formula on this. And once you have these systems in place, what it does, I think if you're watching this, you know, and you're a young dentist, it's a system. It's a system where a hygienist can go to work and she or he can be successful because they're not trying to make it up. You know, and as you repeat a system, you always get more confidence. And you said at the beginning, when somebody gives birth to it, they can get behind. Well, how did you say that?
People will support what they help create.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Now let's go to the fourth component of this, which is being conscious. Okay. Yes. What does that mean?
You know, honestly, we discussed it a little bit when we were talking about diagnostic assertiveness. And that is, if we really want to achieve greatness, we have to be able to own what we're doing. And a lot of hygienists can't get behind some of the strategies that they're asked to do. Like I said, you know, shortening those appointments down and, you know, feeling like we're in a pro female, get them in, get them out. You know, the patient perception is that it's just a cleaning. You know, we want to be providing a higher level of value. And that's why I think the conscience is so important. I also think that no dentist wants to recommend treatment that they feel is unnecessary for the patient. No hygienist does either. And so, you know, when we look at doubling production tomorrow, the beautiful thing about what we teach is that we do get buy-in from hygienists because these are services that patients really do need. And so we're not asking anyone to sacrifice their conscience to go along in this process. We have to make sure that we all feel very good about what we're doing every day. Otherwise, we don't have ownership. You know, we don't have buy-in. And so another thing with conscience that we have to understand is I think it's really important for us to address the elephant in the room, which is compensation. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons, one of the key elements that we find is a lot of hygienists are reluctant to go on a direct production-based or commission-based schedule because they don't want to be motivated just by the money. It goes against their conscience, right?
Right.
But what we do find is when we can meet in the middle and we can establish, you know, these systems we all feel good about, there's also got to be a return on effort for the hygiene providers themselves. And if there's not, then we're not going to see sustainable results. So here's something I often talk about in our profession. There's a tactical mistake that we make, and that is we are compensating producers with an hourly wage. And what that ultimately gives us is an hourly minded employee. Right. And if you have an hourly minded employee, moving from effectiveness to greatness will not be possible. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. They need to understand, you know, we all need to understand that, yes, we don't want to be motivated solely by the money, but the paycheck matters. You know, if we didn't need the paycheck, we probably wouldn't have the job.
Right.
You know, so we love our patients and want to do what's best for them. But to provide a world-class level of care takes a considerable amount of effort. And to do it sustained over the long term, there's got to be some profit sharing involved. And so we love production-based compensation. I get questions about bonuses and production-based incentives every single day. I get an email or text or something about that.
I'm going to go ahead and ask you because I want to know, and I get the question every day too. Now, if I'm a young dentist, let's say I'm 32 and I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my gosh, she just said a phrase that smacked me right in the face. Hourly minded employed. And you're watching this and you go, I do. Wendy, where do I start? Because that's what I have. Because you're going to find throughout your career, your favorite employees don't think like that. They don't think per hour. So where do I start? And answer the compensation question if you can.
Yeah, for sure. So I can say the compensation question is obviously very complex because there's so many different elements, so many different variables. Does the practice accept PPOs? How many write-offs are they doing? What hourly wage is the hygienist compensated at? Is there a retirement package and health benefits included in that? So we have four or five different transition formulas that we recommend. We don't like to see you go straight to a percentage because that causes panic. Right. And the hygienists don't even know what they're capable of yet. So once they figure out what they're capable of, then they're more willing to embrace a compensation model that is a win-win. Okay.
Right.
So we have four or five different compensation formulas that work. I can say certainly it's not a one size fits all, but there are a few key elements, a few core principles that are really important to identify. And that is don't figure it quarterly. Don't figure it monthly. It's got to be done on a daily basis. That's the ideal. Every day is a new day. New startup practices may want to go to a weekly number so that we can't game the system. But honestly, with hygiene, we just don't see that happening very often. There's no way that hygienists can intentionally load up one day and then suck it the next.
Right.
You know, so there's some things, some core principles that we talk about. And that's something that we do. We provide that as a part of our coaching is we help them figure out what production-based compensation model suits their individual situation. And we have that conversation with the hygienist the very first morning of the very first day. You know, so that's a part of the service offering that we provide. You know, how to get them focused on that. You know, when you present it the right way, they're all in. They get super excited about it. So over time, you can move seasoned hygienists to a straight percentage, but I certainly wouldn't start there. Right. So those are just a few key elements. Now, when you say, where do you start? You know, one of the things that you and I talked about is we do have a special offer for people that are listening today to test out our member site. And on that member site, we actually have a module called production-based compensation, where it walks them through how to compensate these hygiene providers or teams. We talk specifically about bonuses as well, and how to motivate and inspire the entire team to get on board. One thing that we really, really focus on is we try not to call the hygiene compensation a bonus. This is not a bonus. This is restructuring their salary. This is restructuring how they're paid to include production-based compensation. Because the last thing we want is for the team to say, oh my gosh, hygienists are getting all these bonuses and we aren't. Right. You know, what I do love is the principle that, you know, a bonus is a gift. There's no expectation of a bonus. There's an expectation of a paycheck. But the bonuses don't have to be fair because bonuses are all, it's the doctor's game.
Yeah.
But in that regard, we also are very realistic and we understand that this is a change to compensation. We strive not to call this a hygiene bonus. So that's right. We're very careful to language appropriately just to minimize the stress and the chaos that can ensue. So there's a way for them to access the production-based compensation module on the website. There's also some resources there on bonuses for the rest of the team. So that can give them a taste of that. And so the special offer that we have for listeners today that are interested is they can do a test drive and they can try this membership website that has a whole host of training resources and systems that are already pre-done for them for $1. They can get on and test it out and try it and see if it's a good fit for what they're looking to accomplish in their practice.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're going to see it right in the feed. So don't even think about it. Just try it and you'll love it. You'll see Wendy has great stuff. Now, there's so many other things I want to ask you about. I mean, we're going to make this into multiple shows on individual things. And it's true. The bonus is totally, it's a gift at the discretion of the doctor. Because I do see this, people start to feel entitled with bonuses. And I have found that the wealthiest people in the world, it's not just in your practice, it's a function of their contribution to the rest of the world. So dentists think in terms of exceptions. So I'm gonna just speak for them. They're like, well, what if I get a hygienist and we set this up and it's all about money? And that's where the vision of the doctor has to step in. When you see that happening, what do we do, Wendy? Like that's a call from the leader, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked at the very beginning about the first step is vision, right? And a part of the vision hopefully is establishing core values. And so when we see specific behaviors, that's a great example of a behavior that probably is not in alignment with their core values.
Right.
Then that's time for a conversation. We talk about non-negotiable standards. We help institute some of those non-negotiable standards as a part of the program, as a part of the systems that we bring to the table. And so if you ever identify, you know, certain behaviors that are not in alignment with the core values, then it's time for a conversation. Hey, Wendy, I see here are some behaviors that are concerning me. They're not in alignment with the core values. And here's why: we really need a commitment from you to really focus in on what's best for the patient, not what's best for you, you know? And so I would say that's pretty much woven into the culture of the program that we bring to the table anyway, is, you know, we're doing what's right for the patient all the time. Patient comes first, practice, and then yourself, you know? So we try to weave that into the very fabric of the systems that we help implement and make sure that there's also some systems designed to catch any red flags that may exist.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing is, you know, we don't have hygienists finding perio where perio doesn't exist because we're all using the same formula for assessment. It's a system, right. It's a tool. And so when you build some of those things in, there really are some stop gaps. Some preventive measures already built in to prevent that from happening in the first place. So hopefully it doesn't happen. I think it's a rare occurrence when it does, but that's where the vision comes back in. And that's where we have to have that conversation that says, you know, this behavior is concerning. It's not in alignment with our core values. You know, what do you think we need to do about that? You know, asking really great questions and having them come up with the solution really is what we find to be the most effective way to turn that ship around.
Yeah, I love this. And I want to know your opinion on this too, because I'm sure you get this question a lot of times, Wendy. You know, a team member, this isn't just hygienist, but your assistant or a front desk administrative team is watching this. You're like, I would really love to make more money, but he or she just doesn't pay very well. I'm going to give you the formula. It's this: go to your doctor today and say, I'm going to be the best hygienist you have ever had, or the best assistant, or the best ever, like ever. There's never going to be a better person that's ever worked for you. And when I get there, you're going to pay me. The highest compensated team member I've ever seen, she practices in a practice in Atlanta, and she said that to her doctor. And her doctor would tell you, it's worth every penny, because she took so many courses and she developed. I think, Wendy, what a lot of people do is they sit back and they wait for things to get better. And it's no different in any business or even for my children. I'm like, you go out and create value. And so what you're talking about is, even if you're a hygienist and you feel a little bit hopeless in a practice, I mean, it's up to us to be self-educating. I mean, listen to podcasts, listen to Wendy. I mean, do this stuff and bring it to the office and say, hey, look, we got to get better. And that's part of the recipe that you're talking about for greatness, don't you think? Because you can't wait for the doctor to cook up the recipe. You got to be part of the recipe, right?
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. You know, we have hygienists that actually go and buy our courses because they want to improve. They make the investment themselves to do the online course or to right. do coaching on their own because they know the impact that it can have on their patient care. But they also know the impact to their personal development. You know, that's really one of the reasons I got where I am is because I had a dentist come to me and say, hey, I want you to come work for me. And I said, hey, listen, I'm pretty happy where I am, but if you'll let me come work for you, here's what I want. I want the opportunity to build my own department. I want the opportunity to hire and fire my own team. I want you to let me run with this. And thankfully, you know, to his credit, he gave me the opportunity to really apply the principles that I knew would work well and to be able to create it and tweak it and make a better system and improve. And that's where, you know, Hygiene Diamonds really ultimately grew out of is that, right. that experiment that he enabled me to do, you know, what I felt. Of course, there was some trust there because he knew that I was never going to be doing anything that was outside the bounds of my conscience and his conscience. But ultimately, you know, making an investment in yourself is really key. And that's part of what I said. You know, when you ask specifics about compensation, I can tell you this. Another thing is, you know, we don't do any profit sharing until we're profitable in hygiene. Right. You know, we set that threshold. And once we're above that threshold, then everybody has the opportunity for a bigger future. And that's such a beautiful thing to see hygienists, you know, realize that the light in their eyes goes on when they're like, okay, I'm in control of what I do day in and day out. And I can, within, you know, limits, of course, really serve my patients at a higher level. And when that happens, everybody wins. You know, the beautiful thing, the patient wins, the practice wins, they as providers win. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've gotten such traction. And, you know, we're so blessed to be able to be, you know, one of the recommended consultants with Henry Schein and, and doing some things like that on the hygiene side that really we're charting new waters because the concepts that we teach really do work when they are applied and embraced because, again, we've harnessed those four key elements, vision, passion, discipline, and conscience. And what we've built around those is really a remarkable program that empowers the hygienists to think bigger, you know, think bigger than the 8-hour day today and think bigger about the patient. You know, just because they've always had a struggle with cavities doesn't mean they always will. Right. But we just need to do some things differently and help them see a different path. And interestingly enough, if I could, you know, share this real quick story.
Please.
I had some investment bankers sit in the back of my room and listen to a presentation that I did. They have a division in their bank called Practice Pathways Division, where they fund practice expansion and acquisition and all of that. And they had seen, you know, what we were doing from a numbers standpoint and were intrigued. So they said, I really don't understand how you double production the next day. Like I see it, but I don't understand how you get there. So I invited them to attend. Long story short, on the first break, he came up to me and said, okay, first of all, I see how you're doing what you're doing. Second of all, I want to know if you work with any dentists in my area because I want to be a patient at a practice that does these things.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so to me, that was just a huge vote of confidence in that we're on the right track. You know, when patients are given the opportunity to choose more, they often do if they understand why, you know, what's in it for them, what the value is that they stand to achieve. And like we said before, the most beautiful thing of all that we're doing is really establishing relationships with patients that endure. So they're retained, so the practice grows, patient experience improves, the review piece of our 7 R's, they're leaving raving reviews. And so it's just such an awesome thing to see all of those elements come together and create a practice that truly is exceptional. You know, they become those outliers, right? That are doing far better than the masses.
You're almost like completely identifying the systemic link that happens with all of these and putting all the pieces together, because that's truly, I mean, when you talk about a hygiene, you know, over $2,000 a day or anything like that, what happens is people are usually paying for things that they want or they're investing things they want. These aren't people that are just struggling with the dollars they need. And if you're watching this too, you look at the places you spend money the most, like my favorite restaurant, I love spending that money and I value it a ton. So when my waiter comes over and says, you know, you really want today, I brought in a brand new Pinot and it's awesome. A few dollars more, but you're going to love it. And certainly almost every single time I'm like, that was one of the best Pinot Noirs I think I've ever had. And you're grateful for that experience. And I think a lot of it has to do just with our own confidence and our own self-worth, because when we undervalue, I mean, we could do a whole other show on this, but hygiene is so valuable to practice, but really where it all comes together is hygienists don't value what they do. So other people don't value who they are, you know, so they don't see it. And I think what we're doing here today is just elevating the value. I mean, what you do is crazy value. Now it's time to show the world that you're good. you know, right. damn it. You could almost say, like, we could even say that on the internet, you know, like you just have to believe in yourself and other people see that. And that's really what you've got here is creating a system for doing all that.
Right.
This is awesome.
Too, because we don't ever want patients to feel pushed or oversold. But that's why I said, you know, at the very beginning, we provide the systems and the verbal skills so that the hygienist can have the confidence to know how about that patient that says, hey, just so you know, I'm not interested in anything insurance doesn't cover. You know, all of those elements that usually create, you know, we throw up a roadblock. We've really, in my opinion, I've got an amazing team around us that can help overcome some of those challenges. And so it's just, you're exactly right. I mean, what we've tried to do is create the total package. You know, how can we help a hygienist who really wants to do better, but doesn't know how or doesn't know what to change? How do we help the dentist who really knows his hygiene team is more capable than what they're doing every day, but doesn't want to offend them? How do we help them gain acceptance and buy-in so that we can move to that next level? You know, all of those elements are very, very common concerns. And I think what's really truly rewarding about what I do is we have figured out how to bridge that gap and how to help them really achieve more day in and day out.
It is crazy clear why you are so good at what you do. And so I'm hugely grateful. And you and I are going to do a couple. We're going to do one on the 7 R's. We're going to do one on the first topic that we talked about. I want to cover a lot of stuff. So thank you so much. Now, if somebody wants to find you, now we've got Wendy's websites listed, which is Hygiene Diamonds and the Team Training Institute. How else can we get a hold of you? Is there anything else? Because you speak a lot too. You're all over the place.
I do. And that's really exciting. So you can actually on those websites, there's a couple calendars that show, you know, certain appearances that I do. You can also contact Henry Schein directly because there's a whole series that we do for them. We do high level workshops with Henry Schein. So your Henry Schein rep can give you more information as well. There's a lot of different ways you can reach out to us. You certainly call us. You can request an audit. We'll do a comprehensive audit where we tap in. We use a series of ways that we capture some data and we can have a high level conversation about opportunity. One of the things that we didn't even mention is we offer a guarantee. Guarantees are awesome. Really rare in consulting. So we do have an amazing guarantee where we guarantee they'll see a $150,000 increase in their practice in the first year. So there's a lot of really awesome information that we're happy to provide. And there's a variety of ways they can reach out to us and make that connection. So we'd awesome. Love to visit with them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Wendy. I really appreciate it. Stay on for just a second. I'd love to chat with you. And if you're watching this, I really appreciate you watching the Best Practices Show. If there are other topics you want to hear Wendy talk about, please add them to the feed. Add some questions or comments. She's awesome at being able to get back to you because I want to make sure we answer your questions. So until we see you next time, thank you so much and have a great day.